This episode of DG's Courtroom is sponsored by Draft, a daily fantasy app where your chances of winning are almost three times better than on FanDuel or DraftKings. On Draft, it's draft day every day. You can do a simple snake draft for one day whenever you want. Drafts take just minutes to complete. Download Draft now. Be sure to enter the promo code DFBPOD when you download to get a 100% deposit bonus. And with that, we are off. Welcome to the show for Tuesday, January 31st, 2017. Can't believe January is already just about done. The month flew by just like that. Also, I should note, we're almost like 60% of the way done with the regular season for NBA, which makes me a little bit sad, quite honestly. It goes by super fast. The good news is, for those of you new to DFS, you might not know this. DFS runs through basically the first two rounds of the playoffs. I think maybe even technically the first three rounds. So the third round is, I don't think that's a whole lot of fun to play. Not just like, you know, two games going each night, if that. But the first couple of rounds of the NBA playoffs are actually a ton of fun for DFS. So even once the regular season ends, we still get about an additional month of DFS in that first two rounds of the playoffs. And that's awesome because in the playoffs, we know who's going to get all the minutes. There's no tin men for the most part because everyone's playing super hard every night. No one's resting players. So NBA basketball in the playoffs for DFS is awesome. So I can't wait for that. But I was looking and I did notice we're almost 60% of the way done with the regular season. And I was like, oh my God, that went fast. Because normally people think of like the All-Star break, which is coming up in a couple weeks, and they think that's like halfway through the season. But that's not really true. I mean, really, by the time the All-Star break hits, we're almost like 65% of the way through the season. So, yeah. So the judge, I almost shed a little tear over that. I'm going to miss you guys during the summer, if I can make it that. Or then again, I'll be sleeping, so I don't know how much I'll miss you guys. That's when a judge will hibernate. But it is Tuesday. A lovely, very delicious, enjoyable six-game slate on tap tonight. Monday was interesting, man. I only played the five-game main slate, which started at like 7:30 Eastern. I wish that Sacramento Philly game, which started at 6 p.m. Eastern, would have been on the main slate. It was all kinds of fantasy goodness. Everyone went nuts in that game. So I'm not sure if you played that or not. If you played it, it seemed like a lot of fun. The judge did not, so I will not be including that game when I talk about the Dream Killers, Dream Lovers. But it still was a really fun five-game slate for the main slate, and it was a high-scoring man. And if you're just listening to this podcast, you know, you're waking up, you're a little groggy, you have your coffee, you may have looked at your DFS results and you either end of the night or when you went to bed, maybe you were winning a lot of money and then you woke up and you basically didn't even cash. Or you weren't doing very good. You went to bed. You were like, all right, tomorrow's a new day. You woke up and you made some money. Maybe you even achieved some glory. And that's because in the late night hammer, the 10:30 p.m. Eastern game, Mike Conley went nuts, over 60 FanDuel points. And Memphis had a blowout, so he only played 32 minutes. And he threw the entire slate upside down. I had a really nice line that I was making a ton of money in. Or not a ton, but I was doing really well in. And that lineup barely ended up cashing because Conley dropped me about 1,008 bazillion places. And that happened not just to me, but just about everyone. And the lineups that I had Conley, I came out of nowhere and shot up the leaderboard late into the evening. And that's why sometimes it's fun if you do have someone in that late night game, especially if you're watching the game, because there's no worse feeling in the world, I tell you, my friends, than having no exposure to that late game and seeing some guy going nuts and just watching your score plummet, especially in GPPs where the payouts are so top heavy. All right. But before we get into the meat of the show, please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. We must get back into the rankings by the time the season ends. That is our goal. We must get back into the iTunes rankings, the iTunes 150 rankings. It will be a challenge for us because their algorithm is so skewed based on new podcasts. So it'll be a challenge, but I think we can do it. Also, when I do tweet out this lovely episode of DG Courtroom, if you could retweet it to the world, that would be very nice. So we can, again, grow the audience base. Because the more listeners we have, the better we're going to do with things like sponsors. And that means more shows for you guys, which I think you guys want. Maybe you guys want weekend shows. Things like that potentially could happen if we start getting some sponsored and the show gets a little bit bigger. So retweets for the judge. Also, I have an announcement that's going to be coming up in probably in the next day or two. And I can give you a quick little teaser. I am going to be joining the Almighty Baller Podcast Network, which is run by Chris Axman. So I'm not going to talk about it too much right now, except to say I'm super excited to be joining. I'll go into a little more details, you know, in the next couple of days. Right now, I want to let you know the problem with joining is there's some IT stuff that has to go on behind the scenes. Now I'm praying, and if you know the judge, you know I hate anything related to IT. I am not IT savvy, so we have to do some like redirecting of feeds to various, you know, it's just things that I'm not good at, for one, and two, it's just I'm worried about because it's out of my control for a lot of it. So hopefully everything's going to go smooth, this little transition. Hopefully you won't notice anything different except when I tell you certain websites and certain things that you can look at and that I think is going to be pretty cool. But if there is some hiccups in the podcast and you're having trouble downloading it or whatever, make sure you reach out to me. I'm producing a sneaky ninja way to listen to the podcast if something goes wrong with these redirects, because I don't trust any of that crap. Although again, everything should go really smoothly. It's not very hard to be doing what I need to be doing, but just for IT wise, I don't trust it. So be on the lookout. If anything weird happens when you're trying to download, don't go crazy on the judge. Don't yell at the judge. It was out of my control. But again, I do have a sneaky way if the podcast is down for a little bit, that we can listen the next couple of days while behind the scenes this gets sorted out and everything. But everything should go smooth, fingers crossed. Also, premium services. This is going to be a limited time, but the judge is back doing some consultations this week, 30 minutes or an hour. Look, DFS is hard, guys. The stats on the amount of people who actually make money if you play for like a month straight, it's pretty depressing. A lot of that is because based on the greed of DraftKings and FanDuel. And then you also have sites who are sleeping with the enemy, sleeping in bed with FanDuel and DraftKings, like RotoGrinders, who I think RotoGrinders does some really good things, but also they're flawed in many ways. And a lot of the, you can't blame them because they are, you know, they're basically tied so much into FanDuel and DraftKings. So a lot of the stuff they tell you, I don't think is beneficial to the consumer. One reason why I think my podcast is, quite honestly, much better than a lot of the stuff they put out there, because I'm not in bed with those guys. I don't have to tell you enter their crappy tournaments with 147,000 people, which is absurd. And it's easier to win. Honestly, it's easier to win the lottery than to win something like that. So, for the premium services, I forgot what the hell I was even talking about. I think I was talking premium services, right? If you want to talk about. Oh, so I was talking about hard DFSs. Yeah, and that's why I think consultations, quite honestly, especially if you're new to DFS, and I know a lot of people listening to the podcast are new to DFS. And if you're new to DFS and you're going up against people who have been playing now 3, 4, 5 years, going up against pros who are sitting in their basements with their computers, entering max entries, 150 lineups into every GPP, it's just tough to win. So I can help you with roster construction, what contest to enter, my favorite must-use research techniques, how to track and analyze data, how to look at some deep analytics, some of the analytics that I feel you must use, others I think are crap, strategy, cash games for single entry tournaments, for GPPs, also analyzing your own lineups in the hour-long session. So, I mean, I think it is helpful. I've heard lots of good feedback. I did hear back from one guy who said he hates me because he's been losing since the consultation. And that's going to happen too, because there's no the matrix where you take the red or the blue pill, if you take one pill, you're going to see everything completely clearly. But I guarantee you will start looking at things differently. I think it will benefit you. So if you want to do that, as much as I don't, sometimes, some days, you know, I'm not a big fan, especially in chambers, when I see someone take me down, sometimes I'm like, why did I teach that guy my sneaky ninja skills? But quite honestly, because DFS is so hard, I want to see you guys do well. And some of the things that go on in the industry really do piss me off. And I want us all to win. Everyone listen to the podcast, everyone in chambers, I want everyone to make some money. And that's why I'm here. I'm here to help you guys. But I'm tired. You know the judge is tired. It's 4 a.m. I need to go to bed soon. I don't know how long I'll do the consultations. So if you want one, hit me up on Twitter, @DanielA_Green1. go to the website, dgcourtroomdfs.com, and we'll try to schedule an appointment for you. Also, please download the lovely app Draft. When you do, use the promo code DFBPOD. We're still waiting to get a new Judges Chambers NCAA Bracket Challenge Tournament to the Death up on the app. So hopefully it'll be up in the next day or so. I know the programmers at Draft are working on it right now. I will tweet out when that is done, and we can get in there. That's I'm telling you, doing the snake drafts on Draft is fun. And if remember, if you downloaded it and use the promo code, you should be automatically entered into the league Judges Chambers. Just click on the My Drafts tab in the app, and you should see something every day. There's a draft at 6 p.m. There's only 5 slots for it, but if you want to get in there, you can get in there. And if you're not in that league, let me know, and I'll make sure that you get in it. All right, Chambers tournaments. What is Chambers, you may ask? Chambers is only the greatest tournament in DFS, where we have some of the best players in the universe take part. We have currently 3 running just about every day on FanDuel. We have 1 on DraftKings. The ones on FanDuel have about 20 people in each one. The ones on DraftKings have 50 spots. And on Monday, the winners, I shall reveal right now. So congrats to the number 5 ranked power in the power rankings, MG Fresh, who has been on quite the roll. This guy, I hope you've been making a lot of money, man, because your lineups have been smoking hot lately on all sites. Number 9 ranked Chaos 927. Who almost fell out of the power ranking, so this is going to help him stay in it. And Toss Carly, who was right on the cusp. I think he was like number 11 or 12. So he's close to breaking in the top 10 in the power ranking. So congrats to him. Maybe he will break in next week. On DraftKings, congrats to Derek Ismail. Dallin, I think it's at Dallin Luck on Twitter. He was close to making the initial DraftKings power rankings. I'm almost positive he'll be in the one for this week. He's been hovering around top of the leaderboard on DraftKings almost every day. Butch is my homie, another guy who's been doing well in DraftKings. It took second, and then MG Fresh, total site domination, took third place in DraftKings. So congrats to you. The judge, I thought again I had a shot to take them all down. I did have Conley everywhere. I think I finished third or fourth in basically all of them. But Jaylen Brown, who I took a gamble with, I knew it was a gamble, just did not pay off for me. And I was fine with that. Dream Killers. Honestly, I'm glad. Sometimes I'm glad there's like, you know, a 3-4 hour gap between when I watch someone play and when I tape the podcast. Because if I were done a podcast about 3-4 hours ago, the whole show would have been a rant about Tristan Thompson. Luckily now, I feel a little relaxed. You know, it's maybe I'm a little bit sleepy because it's almost 3:45 in the morning. So I'm not going to do a rant about Tristan Thompson. What I am going to do is, first of all, I finally figured out a nickname that I want to use for him. It's hashtag Triscuit. I don't know if some of you may never heard. Some of you are like, Judge, what's a Triscuit? You should Google what it is. It's basically like a cracker or a cookie. I think it's more of a cracker. But my mom would have these when I was growing up. Like when she was always trying to like lose a few pounds, I think she would eat these things because they're supposed to be like relatively healthy, or they'd be like whole wheat. Occasionally, if I was hungry, I would sneak one in. They taste like utter crap. They're disgusting. I think on Twitter, I was Googling like what does a Triscuit taste like, and someone summed it up really nicely. It said it tastes like a doormat, and that's basically what Tristan Thompson is. He's a doormat. He's a Triscuit. Hashtag Triscuit. That's his nickname. For the end of time, at least the rest of this season, I don't care what happens. If he makes us money going forward or he doesn't. He's disgraceful. He's disgusting. He stinks. And then I read an article on ESPN today saying how he thinks his contract was justified. He put up – I don't even remember how many FanDuel points it was. It was so putrid. I don't know if it was like 5 FanDuel points and he somehow stumbled into like 8 FanDuel points. He had 50 yesterday and now he gets 8. The Cavs had a horrible loss at Dallas. He took, you know how many shots he took? He took as many shots as me and you. That's right. He took 0 shots in 22 minutes. He got into early foul trouble in the second quarter. He had 3 fouls early in the second. Dallas is the worst rebounding team in the NBA, one of the worst rebounding teams. Bogut wasn't even playing. Dirk Nowitzki was their starting center, for God's sakes. He's so freaking bad. And it just, he was almost 5K. thank God I didn't play a ton of him, but I did have, I think I had him in like in two or three single entry tournament lineups. It was just such a disgraceful, disgusting performance. And he was also a negative, a minus 22 and plus minus. He was just, there was not one positive thing I can say about him. The only good thing was I made sure in lineups I did not have Tristan Thompson, that I had Channing Frye, because I knew if anything bad happened to Thompson, they would go basically small, or would go with a place you play with a lineup with a stretch four, stretch five, and play a lot of Channing Frye. And Channing Frye ended up doing pretty well. He was in almost all the winning GPP lineups. But hashtag Triscuit can kiss my you know what. Loathe that guy. Kyrie Irving, speaking that same game, we'll talk about Yogi Bear in a little bit. Hashtag Yogi Bear. But Kyrie Irving got outplayed by Yogi, and without Love, he sees like an 8% usage rate bump. He should have went nuts. I think he had like 29 FanDuel points on this slate because of what guys like Isaiah Thomas did and what Conley did. And even what Dragic did, Dragic was cheaper. Conley was cheaper too. So he was a dream killer. He was a soul crusher. He was a guy I had a core in every one of my lineups. I thought he was almost a can't miss. Even when I thought he had a floor of around 40 FanDuel points, he started off fine too. He had like 16, 18 FanDuel points in the first quarter. I mean, Dallas, I beat them up pretty handily, quite honestly. Towards the middle of the end of that fourth quarter, it wasn't even close. Pretty shocking. He shot horribly, was like 7 for 21. Just not a good night for him. Super disappointing without Kevin Love. Wayne Ellington, hopefully you saw the news that Tyler Johnson was going to play. The second Tyler Johnson was going to play, it made him a super risky play. He was not a cash game play anymore. He got like 18 minutes. Tyler Johnson got 19 minutes, and basically every one of Tyler Johnson's minutes would have been one of Ellington's. Magruder, for whatever reason, still played 32 minutes. I thought normally I would have thought Ellington would have got some of those, but that's not the way it turned out. And he had a horrible night. I don't know, like 4 FanDuel points, something like that. So yeah, hopefully you basically pivoted off him. I was fortunate not to play him at all. Tyler Johnson for me, the only bad thing for me was I faded Ellington, but I also faded a lot of Dion Waiters. And Dion Waiters thinks he's Jokic out there on the court these days. Dirk Nowitzki on the back-to-back, I don't trust him. I barely played him at all. He played, like 22 minutes, something like that. 15 FanDuel points, so not a good night for him. Zach LaVine, thought maybe he's going to bounce back. He did not, and Rubio did well. Always one of them does well. So LaVine was horrible, pretty much a waste of space. And, not much more I can say about that. Dream killer for sure. Eric Bledsoe, the Memphis Phoenix game was not close, and Bledsoe was a dream killer on two fronts. One, he got destroyed by on the defensive end by Conley, and then offensively, he wasn't that good either. So, soul crusher all the way, especially his price now, which is almost like 9K. The Pistons, Marcus Morris and Tobias Harris. KCP did okay. Reggie Jackson did okay. Drummond went nuts, and Marcus and Tobias did nothing. So, dream killers for those two. Marcus All, dream killer. It was Conley's night. It was his show. He was just on fire. He couldn't miss. He was so efficient too. He was like 7 for 10 from threes. I think he only took like 16 or 18 shots from the field too. He had 40 actual points. It was just his night. Whiteside, if you tried to go back to the Whiteside train, it was worth a shot against Brooklyn. Just didn't pan out. He's not playing a ton of minutes, and I think he's still fouled out. He did look a little bit better just watching that game. He looked more active. He got 3 blocks, and lately he's been blocking like no shots at all. So just watching the game, he looked a little better. So maybe going forward, that's a good sign. But still, in terms of this slate, not even close. I think he was still more expensive than Drummond. And Drummond, quadrupled his FanDuel point production. And then Tyson Chandler. Every show I say, Tyson Chandler, not very good at basketball. This was also not the matchup to play him against Marc Gasol. In tournaments, is everyone... In tournaments, is there ever such thing as a bad play? Not really, even though there is on paper. In tournaments, you can play anyone. So if you played him in tournaments, okay. But just on paper was not a good. Dream lovers, hashtag Yogi Bear. I mean, Rick Carlisle. As much as we hate him, and by the way, the dude did play. He finally played Dwight Powell a lot of minutes, and of course, Powell had a good game. Go figure there. But he played Yogi Berra 38 minutes. He played Seth Curry 38 minutes. So from that perspective, Rick Carlisle. How about Rick Carlisle, dream lover on this slate? Who knew? So, yeah, Yogi Berra, he basically played better than Kyrie and played better than LeBron, quite honestly. It was pretty amazing. Dude's played two NBA games. He's in the D League like 2 days ago. So pretty remarkable. He was really composed. I was really impressed with his game, man. He's not like super quick. He just – the game seems to be like pretty like slow. I mean, normally when you see rookies, the game goes to almost too fast for them. But him, it seemed like he was just really calm, relaxed. He didn't force shots. He was getting good looks in the offense. I was just impressed all the way around. And he played pretty good defense on Kyrie Irving. You know, he looked like he was like 12 years old out there. He looks like he has a baby face. But he was – I mean, he was really good. I was impressed. So – I'm really intrigued to see what they do going forward once Darren Williams comes back. And Dallas is playing a lot better as a team. Like Yogi Berra played great. Seth Curry played pretty good. Harrison Barnes was excellent. And Dallas got another win, beating the Cavs. Like teams like Dallas and Miami are winning a lot of games lately. Mike Conley, just best game he's probably played in his career. Just he couldn't miss. In a fast-paced game, he had a good matchup anyway. So if you played him, you probably won some money. If you didn't play him, you probably were looking at the scores end of the night and being like, this sucks. Let me say one thing about Yogi Berra. Like, I still don't think he was quite honestly, I don't think he was if you use him in cash, that's fine. But for me, I did not think he was a cash game play. I did not think on this slate that you should have punted at point guard. I thought you should have spent money, should have spent up on guys like Isaiah Thomas, on a Dragic, on a Conley. And if you look at the winning lineups in the GPPs, all the winning lineups had Isaiah and Conley. Those two guys combined put up like 110 Vandal points. So, and that's why I thought playing Yogi just wouldn't pay off, because the opportunity cost of missing out on one of these top-notch point guards who can put up a 40, 50, 60 Vandal point night was going to be too much to overcome. Now, Yogi Berra had 35 Vandal points. I no way saw that coming. I thought he'd be, you know, a ceiling of like 25. But, you know, so it worked out if you played him. But don't be always results-based. It's still – and given Carlisle's history, it wasn't a given he was going to get 37 minutes anyway. So while if you played him, you know, it worked out and congrats. But to me, in no way was it 100% lock and load play on this slate. But Conley was excellent, as I already said him. Harrison Barnes, dude, he was so good. He matched LeBron play for play. I told you on yesterday's podcast, LeBron, I don't know, defensively he's just not engaged. Offensively, you can make a case he's not that engaged either. The entire team is going through some weird things right now. So, yeah. But Harrison Barnes, he was excellent. Offensively, another guy, just super composed, looked very smooth, very comfortable, wasn't rushing anything, took all good shots. I'm just really impressed with what I've seen from Harrison Barnes this year. I mean, at the time that he gets, when Dallas signed him, everyone was like laughing, you know, and making fun of him. I was too, because he was one of the original Tin Men. Whereas he's always been super talented, but sometimes some games he just wouldn't show up. And this year he's been a pleasant surprise, at least for Dallas. And I think just, you know, from what I can tell too, just watching him play, he's been a lot better than I anticipated. Andre Drummond, this guy's cost me a lot of money. He's this year the most money of maybe any player. He finally won me back some money on Monday night. He had over 60 Vandal points. He's hard to play. He's hard to trust in cash. I just do not play him in cash unless the slate is really just horrible at center. You know, but I did have him in, I think, maybe 20-25% of my lineups simply because you can attack Boston bigs. His price was fair, and he does have upside. So he ended up with over, a Barbara Walters 20-20 game, 20 points, 20 rebounds. You know, the Boston bigs, Al Horford plays, doesn't play. Horford's basically a power forward. He's not a big. He's not physical. So Drummond has had his way inside. And stayed active, stay engaged. He stayed engaged, and that's his big issue. He just goes through huge lapses where he will just either not get the ball, sit on the bench. It's just bizarre. So in this game, it was one of the rare times where I've seen him for almost four full quarters be active and energized the entire time. And it was – and not coincidentally, it produced a monster fantasy point night. James Jones – well, not James Jones, dear God. James Johnson from Miami was really good. You know, perfect spot for him against Brooklyn. I still do not know what the hell happened last week when Miami played Brooklyn and he had like 13 Fando points because in an up-and-down, fast-paced game, he's super athletic. A perfect matchup for him. So he had like 35 Fando points. He was really good. Serge Ibaka played well for Orlando. He was kind of an under-the-radar sneaky play. Isaiah Thomas, man, there's been so many games this year where Isaiah Thomas is like mediocre the first three quarters. And then in the fourth quarter, dude just puts on a switch and goes nuts. He had over 20 actual points in the fourth quarter again, which he's done numerous times this year. I think he ended up with over 40 actual points for the game and over 55 or so, around 55 Fando points, and was almost a must to win some huge money on this slate. Basically, him and Conley were the two guards if you wanted to take down a GPP. He's just so locked in right now. It's pretty amazing. Deion Waiters, he had over 40 Fando points. Dude had 9 assists. I thought for sure – I mean, the thing with Deion Waiters, a lot of times what Coach Spo has been doing for Miami, they're letting him run with the second unit and basically be like the point guard of that second unit. I thought for sure with Tyler Johnson back, Tyler Johnson would go back to being basically the guy who keys that second unit. So Waiters, you know, would go back to kind of just taking shots and that's it. But that wasn't the case. He still was distributing a lot. And for him to get 9 assists is just disgusting. I don't know what the hell he's doing. Where's that coming from? He's so annoying because he's so arrogant and cocky. I cannot wait till he starts stinking. I mean, I remember a couple weeks ago I said Deion Waiters is going to start being in the winning GPP lineups and start winning us a ton of money. I didn't think he'd go on to be like the greatest player of all time and being the winning GPP lineup every night. I mean, enough is enough, Deion. Let's end this crap. Seth Curry, he wasn't great. He got 38 minutes and he did fine. Quite honestly, he could have done better. But the usage is not great because Harrison Barnes gets a lot of shots. Wes Matthews also played really well for them. They do have Dirk, and now they have the one of the top point guards in the league. # Yogi Bear. So you know, Seth Curry he did fine. I was worried he was gonna have a dud. He did not have a dud. He came through with like 28 Vandal points. Andrew Wiggins had a nice night for him, as well as did Rubio and Towns. I think that Minnesota game went to overtime, which was a super annoying for me because I almost faded that game. I had such limited exposure. I didn't play much Towns. So, yeah, hopefully if you played that game, hopefully the overtime helped you out. # French Fry, Channing Fry, because Triscuit put up an absolute – a dud's not even a strong enough word for what Tristan Thompson did. French Fry, you know, Channing Fry, he did well. 24 Fando points. On the surface, doesn't seem that great. But, again, when you're getting a guy that cheap, he hit like 6 times value for his price. And it allowed us to get 2 of the studs at point guard, like a Isaiah Thomas or a LeBron or whoever, in our lineup. So it serves 2 purposes. And he was in almost every winning GPP lineup I saw. And then Marquise Chris, Dream Lover as well. He probably was under the radar, probably wasn't played a lot. Not a good matchup. He's normally a guy who, for Phoenix, will only play well in an up-and-down, high-paced game. So it was surprising to see him do well against Memphis. All right, injury news for Tuesday's slate. The criminal, Derrick Rose, looks like he is going to be out with that sprained left ankle, and he might miss some more time as well. Looks like he might miss a few games this week, which is good news. So Brandon Jennings, although Brandon Jennings is not cheap now, FanDuel did some good things with pricing on this slate. So there's going to be Jameer Nelson and Brandon Jennings, who normally are nice value plays, their prices has kind of skyrocketed up. So they're not locking loads on Tuesday. Jeremy Lamb, he's going to play. So maybe no more Marco Bellinelli. Cody Zeller is still doubtful or with his quad contusion. So Spencer Hawes, Marvin Williams, Frank the Tank, those guys are going to be in play. Jamal Murray's got an illness for Denver. Yeah, that doesn't really do a whole lot for me. Julius Randle, he's got pneumonia. So the gravy man himself is going to be out. Zubac, I think it's Zubac. for the Lakers. He's been playing well. He's getting a lot of minutes. I'm hearing rumblings that he's going to be starting for the Lakers soon, ahead of Mozgov. So he's an intriguing play. Walton just doesn't seem to be willing to unleash Larry Nance Jr., but he's intriguing, I guess, a little bit. D'Angelo Russell is questionable with dealing with this MCL sprain. I think he did a little practicing on Monday. Maybe he plays. Emmanuel Mudiay is questionable, low back soreness. So if he's out, Jameer Nelson's okay play, but not great at his price now. We'll get into that in a minute. And then Jokic is doubtful with he has a hip injury that he basically did hurt in like the last play of the game over the weekend. So we can go back to the well with our boy Nurkic, who killed us a couple nights ago. And I think Nurkic is an intriguing play, although he's not dirt cheap either right now. And I just noticed also that I had like 40 windows open. And sometimes when I have a lot of windows open, some of the show will be, the audio might get kind of messed up a little bit. And I also, trust me guys, I am aware that sometimes via the Google Hangouts that the audio has been not the best lately. I'm working and trying to figure out what the hell is causing that as well. So, you know, bear with me. And all the IT stuff, as you guys probably know, as I've just already told you at the top of this show, not my strong suit to begin with. It's always super frustrating, but I am always aware of when there are issues, and I am constantly trying to work at it and fix it. All right, let's stuff that. Let's fly to Vegas, shall we? First, let me take a sip of my delicious water. So, six games. They're all good games. All pretty nice over-unders. The worst over-under is OKC at San Antonio. Anytime you have the worst over-under with Westbrook, that's a good slate. The Spurs are favored by 9 points, but that game should stay close. The Spurs have been playing a pretty piss-poor defense, if you ask me, lately. In no way do I think you have to fade that game. I think there's guys who attack there. You got Charlotte-Portland, Dame Judy Dench against Kemba in a nice little matchup there, 214 over-under. The Pelicans at Toronto, 215 over-under. Knicks Washington, fantasy gold there, if you ask me. Only a 216 over-under, but the Knicks don't play any defense. The Wizards, the Wizards are locked in right now. So I guess it's possible the Wizards blow the Knicks out. The Wizards are favored by 8 points, but especially with the guys like Rose out, I have a feeling, and the Wizards struggle to defend the power forward, I have a feeling this is the day Porzingis dominates for us and makes a lot of money, so I'm very intrigued to use Porzingis in tournaments. Denver at Lakers, 226 over-under. Neither one of those teams have any clue how to play defense, so fantasy gold there. And then Sacramento-Houston. Houston is a favored by 11.5 points, but 226 over-under as well. That's a really high over-under because Sacramento plays at a pretty slow pace, so I'm a little surprised at why the over-under is so high. Now, granted, last few times Sacramento's played, their over-under and their pace has gotten a little quicker, but I would choose the under on that game. So teams playing up in pace, not a ton. I mean, just Sacramento playing up in pace, and the Lakers are playing up in pace. Those are the two teams with the most. The Spurs a little bit, and Denver a little bit when you look at projected pace. Yeah, that's about it. All right, let's hop into the plays. All right, point guard, Westbrook. Do you or do you not, Westbrook? I mean, this slate, we got Westbrook, we got Harden, we got Cousins, Anthony Davis. So you got four guys that are over $11,000, then not including John Wall, you got five guys who are over $10,000. Harden's actually a little bit more expensive than Westbrook, and he's probably a little bit better play on this slate because – as usual, point guard is loaded. Good plays everywhere. So do you have to go Westbrook and cash? No, you really don't. Also, he's got a tough matchup against the Spurs. Now, Tony Parker is not tough defense, but the Spurs team defense in general is. And the pace of that game, you know, it is the slowest of the night. So could Westbrook still put up a 70, 80, 90? Of course. Could he be in the winning GBP lineup? Sure. Will I play him in tournaments? Yes. Am I going to play him in cash as of 3:58 a.m. in the morning? No. John Wall, 10.5K versus the Knicks. So you could save $1.7K to play Wall over Westbrook. Now, could Wall basically get pretty close to what Westbrook does in FanDuel point production in this game? Yeah, I think he could. I think he's basically got a floor around 40 and a ceiling of maybe 55, 60 against the Knicks. The Knicks are atrocious defensively. Even with Rose out, Brandon Jennings, he's a horrible defender. He has been his whole career. Maybe they put Courtney Lee on John Wall. Courtney Lee stinks defensively too. Even though Courtney Lee's been better offensively, he still does not worry me defensively at all. So Wall, I think Wall's expensive too. Do I think you have to play Wall? Not really. I mean, there's other guys on this slate who are also pretty nice plays, but do I think you should probably have either a Westbrook or Wall in a cash game? Probably should. So right now, I've just found my lineup easier to build with Wall over Westbrook. May that change by the time tomorrow hits, maybe, because Wall's not cheap now. Quite honestly, you could make a case that he's a little overpriced because he's got to give us over 50 now to hit value. And he's done that, twice in the last 10 games. He's normally pretty close to that. So the more I think about it, maybe I'd just rather just go up and get Westbrook if I can find the savings. But Wall is safe for all formats. Kyle Lowry, 8.7K. With DeMar back last game, a lot of people faded Lowry. He was overlooked, underowned, and he put up 49 FanDuel points. That's three straight games now in the 40s. He's super efficient. I always talk about usage rates. You guys know I love pace usage rates in the bailiff. And his usage rate still is not tremendous. It went up a little bit, but some of that now went up because DeMar was out. So it's without DeMar, it hovers around like the 26% mark. On this slate, you've got Westbrook is 46%, Wall's 35%, Damian Lillard, Judy Dench is 32%, Kemba Walker is 31%, and even D'Angelo freaking Russell is 29%. And then Drew Holiday is also 27%. Those guys are all higher than Lowry. So that's one reason why. Well, I think Lowry is a fine play. Some days I do get nervous using him. Although I do think he's safe for all formats. The Pelicans are atrocious defensively. They have been all year. Even though Drew Holiday is supposed to be a pretty good defender, and their DVP is a little skewed because some of that takes into effect when Holiday was out. They are giving up the third or fourth most FanDuel points to point guards. So Lowry is safe for all formats. And look, you can save almost $4,000 from Westbrook and almost $2,000 from Wall. If you want to go play Lowry, I think he's safe. I think he's probably going to get you 40 to 45 Bando points. Dame, Judy Dench, Lillard, 8.3K. So he's like a yo-yo now in price. He was 8.3, 8.8. Now he's 8.3 again. If you look at his production, it hasn't been great. He's been consistently mediocre. He's been in like the 30s the last 10 games or so. He's got two of those 10 games. He barely hit the 40 mark. With that said, he does have upside. Kemba is not great defensively. I love stacking this game, playing a little Kemba Lillard, putting them both as my two point guards. They're both 8.3K. They're both capable of giving you 40, 50, 55, maybe even 60 FanDuel points if they go off. So Lillard's usage rate is still really good. He did hide in a corner in the fourth quarter of the last game, which I mentioned yesterday, that worries me a little bit, but he's still fine, man. If you want to use him in cash, I really don't mind it. The game logs would kind of tell you is he's not the best play in the world right now, but I think he's pretty safe. Quite honestly, the game logs will tell you he's probably fine for cash, but for tournaments, the upside's not there right now. So I think he's fine. Kemba Walker, also 8.3K. If I had to choose between Kemba or Lillard, it's tough. But because Lillard's defense is so atrocious, I would probably choose and Kemba's playing better the last few games. He's been 42, 52, 43, so he's shown a higher upside lately. I probably prefer Kemba to Lillard a little bit, although normally I do like playing Kemba at home, and now he's on the road. His home and road splits are pretty notorious. He's usually a much better home player. But I think both these guys are fine. Again, do I think obviously a guy like Wall is safer? Sure. But he's also more expensive. Do I think Lowry's a little bit safer? Probably a little bit safer, but these guys are all fine. And this is another day where I think Well, we can talk about if you want to spend down at point guard, because there are a couple of options you have. But yeah, I mean, I truly don't mind the first four point guards I mentioned. I think they're all safe for any format you want to consider. I do like Kemba a little bit over Jrue Dench-Lillard. Jrue Holiday, 7.8K. Another guy, he's looked better lately. 47 FanDuel points the last two games. He's played monster minutes, 39 and 38 FanDuel points. Do I think he's going to keep giving you 50s? Probably not. But he's got upside too. So Toronto, Kyle Lowry's a pretty good defender. I probably feel a little bit safer with Kemba or even Lillard in terms of cash games. But with that said, Holiday's looked really good. You want to use him too? Go ahead. I do think he's an intriguing tournament guy. Out of all the point guards so far, he's probably going to be the one who's overlooked the most, and probably a little bit under-owned on this slate. So you guys know what I love doing. You know I love teaming up Holiday with Anthony Davis. It paid off last game. I think AD had like 64 FanDuel points and Jrue Holiday at 47. If those two combined can give me 100, that's pretty delicious. So after that, then you're talking value. Now we got Brandon Jennings. The problem with him is now he's 5.6K. John Wall is a sneaky good defender. Washington's playing pretty good. It's a blow-up potential here. Brandon Jennings coming in that four overtime game, he had 39 FanDuel points, but that's four overtimes. He played 53 minutes for gosh sake. So I don't think it's not a lock and load. Normally, you know, if he was in the 4K range, I'd say lock and load for cash games. At 5.6K, I don't think you need to do it. Can you? Sure. If you're looking to save money because you want to put in a Harden in your lineup, and you want to get a guy like Cousins, because after Cousins, center takes a big hit, just based on this slate alone, the more I think about it, maybe there is some merit to playing either Brandon Nelson in cash, because I probably do want to grab me a Harden and a Cousins. So I don't mind Jennings, and hopefully the pace of this game can be a little bit higher than expected, and hopefully, obviously, this game can stay close. Patrick Beverley, 5.3K. You can do it if you want. It's okay. But give me Jennings every day of the week over Beverley right now. I think Jennings has a higher upside. Quite honestly, with Rose out, it's probably a higher floor as well. And similar price, higher usage rate than Beverley when he starts. So give me Brandon Jennings. Darren Collison. He had a 41-point FanDuel point game. Everyone jumped on the train. I did not, because I've seen him play too much. The last two games, he's come back to be the Darren Collison that we know and love. 12 and 20 FanDuel points. So if you want to use him, I just wouldn't in cash games. And if you want to throw him in a tournament, because Sacramento is playing way up in pace, you can. He is going to get Patrick Beverley defense. So I probably will not have a ton of exposure to him. Jordan Clarkson, obviously, if D'Angelo Russell plays Jordan Clarkson, large tournaments only, as like a tournament dart. If Clarkson's out, you can play him as well. He's the last two games, 36 and 35 minutes, 27 and 30 FanDuel points. So, yeah, I mean, Denver Lakers, what do we like to do? We like to attack Denver guards, especially point guards. And someone on Twitter was trying to tell me that Jameer Nelson is a pretty good defender or a better defender than Moutier. I got my gavel. I object to that. Jameer Nelson's like 4'11". Dude, he's lost so much quickness over the years. He's like 57 years old. So Jordan Clarkson should be able to have his way with Jameer Nelson as long as he starts – or not starts, because he's probably not going to start anyway. They start Calderon. But as long as he gets decent minutes, he should be able to have a nice night. But still, I don't trust Luke Walton in terms of giving him minutes. So he's going to be a tournament play only for me. Same game. Jameer Nelson, on the other hand, I think he's probably going to start if Moutier is out. And then I have no issue using Jameer Nelson in cash games. I don't think it's a lock and load. I don't think you have to do it. Obviously, the Lakers are horrific guarding every position, including point guard. So he's in a good spot. But his price has come up a little bit too. Last three games, 30, 35, and 29 FanDuel points. And as I mentioned, the more I think about it, I think it does make sense in cash games if you want to use either a Jameer Nelson or a Brandon Jennings. Those are probably my two favorite value guys to use. But also a nice kind of, which probably will end up being a contrarian play, is spending up at point guard and going, you know, Wall and Westbrook or Lillard and Kemba. It's a, you know, especially in tournaments, yeah, you can do that. But even in cash games. Other than that, Tony Parker, that's about it. All right, shooting guard, James Harden. So shooting guard's actually not horrendous on this slate, but I think the opportunity cost of fading Harden is just too much of a risk for me. So even though he's coming off of a 30 Fanduel point night a couple nights ago and killed all of our lineups, Sacramento has struggled to defend the shooting guard position all year. Lately, they've been giving Aaron a follow a lot of minutes. I don't know who the hell is going to try to defend him. It doesn't really matter. And he's fine. He should be able to smash. Lock and load for me in cash games. And I'll have a decent amount of exposure in tournaments too. DeMar DeRozan. 8.9K. He's much cheaper on DraftKings. I think he's like 7.8K on DraftKings. So I prefer him obviously on that site. For me, no thank you. Even though the Pelicans, you can attack them. That's just too pricey for me, and I don't want to use him on this slate. Tournaments maybe, but cash games, no thank you. CJ McCollum against Charlotte, he's fine. You look at his game logs, he's somewhat of a magic. He's not an officially a Magic Mountain guy, because when he has he doesn't really have a dud. When he has a bad game, he'll get you like in mid to high 20s maybe. So it's probably not going to kill your lineup. But he is 7.9K, so he basically needs to give us 40. And he struggles to do that because he is a one-trick pony. So am I a fan of this play either? Not really. He's basically a mini version of DeMar DeRozan. I really don't want DeRozan or McCollum on this slate. Instead, I would prefer a guy like Batum. And the reason I do that, I prefer Batum in cash games, is because Batum is not relying on making shots. Last game, 7 rebounds, 7 assists. That's what I want from my cash game, guys. I cannot afford a dud. When I'm making my cash game lineup, I think, all right, what are the odds this guy could kill me? And how's this game going to play out? Is this guy going to miss shots? And if he misses shots, what's my night going to look like? If Batum misses shots, he still can salvage his night because he's going to get you rebounds. He's going to get you assists and hopefully a block or a steal. Lately, he has not been doing blocks or steals. But I think Batum's a fine play for cash, and he's got upside for tournaments too. And CJ McCollum is an atrocious defender. Him and Lillard together, I think before the games, they just make a pact to never play defense. And that's why this Portland stinks as a team. They don't defend any position. So Batum, yeah, fine for all formats. Bradley Beal, nice tournament play here. I prefer Batum and cash because Beal is a one-trick pony. Does have upside. Want to use him in tournaments? Go ahead. The Knicks can't defend any position. Lou Williams, 6.2K. That's really pricey. Although I said the same thing about Deion Waiters, and Deion Waiters came through. But I'm not touching Lou Will in cash. The minutes really are somewhat always an issue there as well. If he gets hot, though, he can put up 40, 45. So will I use him in tournaments? I will, because also he gets Denver defense. I don't care if it's Gary Harris. I don't care who's going to be defending him. And Gary Harris is obviously a better defender than Will Barton or whoever else they were throwing out there earlier in the year. But still, the pace of this Denver-Lakers game is delicious. I do want pieces of it. And for the Lakers, it's hard to trust any of them. One of the most guys you can probably trust the most, sad to say, is Lou Williams. But I don't want to do it in cash games. Oladipo, 6K. You all year long, you've been able to attack the Spurs shooting guards. And Oladipo has been a consistency monster lately. The last like 5 games, it's been like a lock and load for 30 Vandal points. So if you want a guy who's going to play a ton of minutes with Enes Kanter out, I now really do think he's going to run that second unit. So his usage rate is going to go up. He's going to get some more shots. So I think he's pretty much safe for all formats. And a really sneaky ninja tournament play as well. Because people see the Spurs and they shudder with fear. Oh no, the Spurs. You can attack the Spurs, especially at the guard position. And the pace of this game, I think, is going to be pretty good. The Spurs have not been defending any position well lately. So, and I do think this game stays close. I like Oladipo, all formats. Eric Gordon, tournaments only. Man, he's been shooting the ball horrendously for a while now. He's coming off an injury too. He's overpriced now, tournaments only. If he gets hot, he can obviously help you win a GPP, but if he misses shots, say bye-bye to your lineup. Tyreek Evans, the minutes just aren't there. Barely getting 20 minutes a night, so not really. Will Barton, maybe it's a tournament dart. The price has come down now to 5K, but the minutes have been an issue now. He's got four or five straight games, minutes in the 20s. I do like the pace of this game. He is a Magic Mountain guy, so if he gets hot, he'll get extra minutes. Mike Malone loves him. The price is very fair. I think there's obviously, don't use him in cash. There's much safer plays. If you want to go that route in like a large tournament, I can get on board with that. Also, same price, much safer play, Gary Harris. Although Gary Harris is also a Magic Mountain guy as well. His minutes are a little more consistent. He basically will give you high 20s, low 30s, even mid 30s in minutes. Two of the last four games, he's been in the high to mid, or mid 30s in FanDuel points. But he's also had two stinkers where he put up 14 and 14 FanDuel points. He's tough to figure out. The one thing watching Denver games that you notice is he goes large stretches without touching the ball. Stands in a corner, oh my God. Now, without Jokic, you got to figure, wait a minute. Could this mean some more shots for my boy Gary Harris? Yeah, why not? Who else is going to score? More shots for Gallinari? More shots for Wilson Chandler? Nurkic, maybe, if he can get on the stay on the court. But I think Gary Harris is in an interesting spot. He gets the Lakers, atrocious defensively. He's hard to use in cash games because he can put up a dud. But based on the matchup, I think he's pretty much fine for all formats, and he's cheap. Courtney Lee has been playing a lot better lately. He's basically last three games been in the 30s in FanDuel points. He's getting a ton of minutes. Without Derrick Rose, his usage rate does go up a little bit. I saw him like creating his own shot against Atlanta 2 days ago, which was shocking. I didn't even think he was capable of doing that. So, dare I say, you can use him in all formats. Now, do I feel good about it? No. Do I think the upside is great? No. But you can do it. You know, the price has come up a little bit, so that sucks. Don't love the play, but it's okay. The nice thing is I can say about Courtney Lee, that it's okay. Other than that, that's about it. Nick Young, I guess 3.9K is staring at me. He still plays like they're almost 30 minutes. So yeah, if he gets hot, Justin Holiday, he is getting decent run some games, so he's in play in tournaments. And then Danny Green, one day, I don't know what year he's gonna win someone a GPP. He's gonna make some shot. He misses every shot he takes. He gets wide open looks, wide open threes every game, and he misses. And he's not a one-trick pony because he can rebound, he'll get you assists, he gets blocks, he gets steals. If he can just make three or four three-pointers, it's just he never does. And he has a really good stroke. I don't understand it. I will – every day I play like one – you know, if I have like 10 lineups, I normally play him in one large tournament. Or if I have 20 lineups, I play him in like one or two. And basically it's a guaranteed way to lose money, to lose money basically. But one day he will help me win a GPP. 2 years ago, he was in my winning GPP lineup, a night when I made, I don't know, like 12, 13 grand. Kawhi Leonard, small forward, 9.6K. The problem I'm having right now is I don't have the money to fit him in my lineups because I'm using guys like Harden. Point guards are expensive. I think this matchup is fine for him. He's been good. The last two games have not been great for him, 35, 37. You know, he had a little injury, so with a hand issue, I don't know if that's still a problem for him. Before that hand issue, he was locked into like mid-40s, was a floor, and like 60 was like a ceiling. So the problem is he's priced a little bit too high for me right now. I think, you know, I'd much prefer to pay like 9K. I mean, Carmelo is 1.1K cheaper, 8.5K, and without Derrick Rose, I mean, as much as I hate saying this, I don't know. I mean, I might prefer Carmelo. He gets such a massive usage bump without Derrick Rose. He is going to be traded almost any day now. I think I'm hoping. And I think he wants to prove something. So I think Carmelo's safe for all formats. Now, Carmelo's price has come up, and I think on DraftKings, Carmelo is a lot cheaper. I think he's a better play on DraftKings. I need to think about this a little bit more of how much I want to use him on FanDuel, because obviously there's a big difference between Carmelo and Kawhi, right? One's a one-trick pony. Guess which one? It's not Kawhi. So the more I think about it, if you can afford Kawhi in cash games, I do think he's safer. But without Derrick Rose, Carmelo has such a monster usage rate that he's an elite tournament play. Gallinari, 7K, so the prices come up a little bit, but he gets the Lakers, so he's a good play. He's looked better lately too. He's getting lots of minutes. The usage is up. Remember, Jokic is out. So with Jokic out, I'm going to say it. Gosh darn it. Danilo Gallinari safe for all formats on the slate, because the problem I'm having is I'm spending up at other spots, and I really am trying to get Cousins because I don't like center in my cash game lineup. And Cousins is not cheap. In order to do that, I can't – I'm having trouble fitting Kawhi and Carmelo in a lot of my lineups. So Gallinari, 7K, I think he's a good play. Otto Porter, you guys know my feelings on Otto, and his price continues to rise. He's playing really well, but he just doesn't get the ball. And I don't want to have someone in my cash game lineup who doesn't get the ball. If you want to use him, I understand why, because the whole Wizards team is they're on fire right now. Otto's—he's not a one-trick pony. He fills up the stat sheet occasionally. I just prefer to go different routes, especially in tournaments where I want guys with massive upside. MKG Otto Porter is basically Otto Porter is basically MKG on steroids right now. So you can save 1.1K and play some MKG against Portland, which doesn't defend any position. I don't know. MKG only played 19 minutes last game. I don't know why that is. I don't remember. I don't think he got hurt. I don't know if he was in foul trouble. So he still put up 26 Fando points. So if you're going to tell me I can get MKG, which is basically Otto Porter's clone, for 1.1K cheaper in a game that's going to be a pretty similar in pace, I'll take MKG. Give me the savings every day of the week. Trevor Ariza, tournaments only. Him and Eric Gordon, the whole Houston team, have not been shooting well lately. Evan Turner. He's been playing really well lately. The minutes have been now over 30 for four straight games. He's really cheap. And now he gets Charlotte, decent matchup. MKG's whatever. He's okay defender. Not going to scare me off from playing Evan Turner, though. I may have to basically punt small forward because based on my salary, based on roster construction. So if I go MKG and Evan Turner, I think both those guys are going to end up in like the mid 20s and pretty much safe cash game plays on this slate. I don't mind it. Other than that, you got Mo Harkless. I mean, he's been taking a hit because Evan Turner is getting more minutes. So Mo Harkless is really not playable right now. You got Damari Carroll. He's 4K. Damari Carroll's minutes are like a yo-yo. I don't know if he's healthy, not healthy, what to do there. So not a cash game play there. Then you got Sam Decker and Brandon Ingram. So Roberson's still sitting down there. Occasionally he has a good game. All right, power forward. Anthony Davis. And by the way, I mean, I'm looking at my FanDuel screen. Jokic is 11.3K. Did his price just... Is that what he was last game? I don't even remember now. He's more expensive than Anthony Davis? That's crazy, because Anthony Davis is 11.2K. I mean, I don't know. What do I say? What should I say about Anthony Davis? You guys know what he is, right? He's a tin man. He has no heart. Can he make it through a game? God only knows. Even God himself doesn't know. If he plays the whole game, he's one of the top five most talented players in the NBA. He gets Toronto. Toronto has no one to match up with him. Patrick Patterson, hashtag Noghead. Maybe they put Valanciunas on him a little bit, but he'll just take Valanciunas out on the perimeter. So, yeah, I mean, he's an elite tournament play anytime he plays. He's also very risky, so I can't use him in cash. LaMarcus Aldridge, 7.8K. I just don't have the money to use him in cash games. He's fine. He's a boring. So he'll be low owned, and you know he could give could he give you 40? Sure. He will not make a lot of my lineups though on this slate. Markieff Morris. Markieff has been playing really well because the whole Wizard team has been playing well. Not surprisingly, all of their prices are on the rise. He's now basically almost 7K. So that's no joke. That's a legitimate salary tag on him. He's got to give us now 35 FanDuel points, and he's basically done that or been close for the last few weeks. So I don't mind it. The Knicks struggle to defend every position, although Porzingis, when he's healthy, is a pretty good, sneaky good defender. If you want to use Markieff, I get it. He's just, for some reason, not going to make a ton of my lineups. To me, that's a little bit pricey. Next guy up, though, I will be using in tournaments, and that's Porzingis. You know, and honestly, if I had – see, this is what's weird, and this may just be me being stubborn. But if I had to choose, you know, if I had a gun to my head and they said, you have one game, you get Markieff Morris or Porzingis, who are you going to use? Even though Porzingis has looked bad, I still think I would use Porzingis, and Porzingis is $400 cheaper. He's 6.5K. Markieff has been much more consistent. So, you know, the rational part of me is saying Markieff cash game play on this slate, Porzingis tournament play. But the upside guy in me is saying Porzingis, because he does have monster upside. He does get a big a bump without Rose. He did look better the last couple games. The minutes he fouled out the last game after only 30 minutes. So. Yeah, I'm using a lot of Porzingis. I'm gonna remember. I like to get guys when their salaries are low. I'd rather be a day early on a player than a day late. So I'll play Porzingis. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out, and I'm fine with that. But I will be using a lot of him on this slate. Other than that, then you got David Lee. Not really. He's expensive, 5.7K. Not a huge fan. Terrence Jones, Elvin Gentry hates him. Aminu, Marvin Williams is not a bad play. He's getting 30 minutes a night right now with as long as Zeller is out. Ryan Anderson, really nice tournament play at 5K, had 37 FanDuel points last game out. Montrezl Harrell, if he gets the start, he's fine. I played him two nights ago when he got the start. I think I had him at like 6% owned. He gave me 21 FanDuel points at his price. That was fine. It allowed me to get a couple studs in my lineup. So if you want to use Harrell in cash, if he's starting, I don't hate it. Patrick Patterson, Frank Kaminsky, those guys are in play on this slate, I guess. All right, center, DeMarcus Cousins. So center to me is disgusting. I'm not a fan of it on this slate. So that's why in cash games I'm doing everything I can to get Cousins in my lineup. Plus Sacramento is playing way up in pace against Houston. And Houston has no one to defend him. I would guess Houston's going to start Nene because that's what they tend to do whenever they're going up against a legitimate big man. And it actually makes Nene somewhat of an intriguing punt at center. But Cousins is just super locked in right now. He's a monster. He's playing tremendous. He's had over 60 FanDuel points in like four of that six games. So he's going to be lock and load. I will do everything I can to get him in my cash games. And obviously an elite tournament play too. After that, you take a big hit because there's no Karl-Anthony Towns, there's no Drummond, there's no Marcus Gasol, there's no even Dwight Howard. I mean, Mason Plumlee is the next guy, and he's 7.4K. And I'm just not going to pay 7.4K for this weird-looking white dude. I just don't want to do it. Yes, he's been pretty good the last week or so. He's been consistent, and Charlotte does struggle to defend bigs. All right. You guys got me. If I played 10 lineups, will I have Plumlee in like two of them? Yes, just based on the slate. But will I be happy about it? No, he's overpriced. Martin Gortat, 6.5K. The Knicks bigs are a mess. You can attack them. I don't mind this price. The thing is, he's over $1,000 cheaper than Mason Plumlee. And when I'm building my lineups, he tends to fit in my lineups, obviously, a lot easier than Plumlee does. So just because of the slate, I'm going to be using him a little bit. Steven Adams, 6K. I don't like attacking the Spurs bigs. but he's fine. Again, center's not good on this slate, so I think he's pretty much safe for all formats. Not a fan of it, and you can tell. Listen to my voice. Listen to how I sound right now. That's how much I'm not a fan of center. So yeah, that's why I'm getting Cousins as much as I can. But I'm telling you, on slates like this, weird things happen. A guy like Adams is going to get you 40 FanDuel points and end up being in the winning GPP lineups. Valachunas, 5.8K. You guys know how I feel about Valachunas. I love him. Dwayne Casey, though, who's more important than me when it comes to Toronto, does not love him. So he hasn't played 30 minutes the last four games, even though he's always a fantasy point per minute monster. 28 minutes, 26 FanDuel points. 24 minutes, 26 FanDuel points. 26 minutes, 21 FanDuel points. 29 minutes, 30 FanDuel points. I mean, dear God, if he would just get minutes, he'll be fine. Now, with that said, he's still going to get – his floor is like 25 minutes or so. And at that price, that's pretty close to hitting value. The Pelicans struggle to defend centers, so he is safe for all formats. He's not going to kill your lineups. You may be a little pissed because the upside maybe is not tremendous, but – occasionally, Dwayne Casey will unleash him. So is he going to do it on Tuesday? Or, you know, that I don't know. I can't help you there. But he isn't a good matchup. Then you got Clint Capella. The problem with Capella, I do think on this slate, Capella is not a good matchup for Cousins. I would expect Houston to play Nene. So Capella, he's probably minutes are going to be capped. Not a great play. If he gets a start, though, yeah, he's a tournament play. You can do it. Spencer Hawes price has come up. So he's almost 5K, and that's disgusting. So I don't want to pay that price tag on him. Nene, his price came up too. So he's 4.6K. That's not cheap. I expect him to play almost 24 minutes against Cousins, though. So you can do it if you want. Then you got Noah and Hernan Gomez. I don't know what to do here. Once every four or five games, Noah's going to, you know, take some steroids and put up a 30, 40 FanDuel point night. So Noah's a tournament play for me only. He does have upside. Hernan Gomez, probably tournament play for me only because I'm not. Sometimes now the Knicks are rolling out O'Quinn, Noah, and Hernan Gomez. Hernan Gomez only got 3 minutes last game, so probably not a good play. And then you got Nurkic. Nurkic is 4.1K. He is playing the Lakers, and he probably is going to start. So I know he killed us last game. But I like him again. I think he's in a good spot. I'm fine with him, man. I get it if you don't want to use him in cash, but is he in an elite spot for tournaments? Yes. And does he have monster upside? Yeah. Could he give you 30, 40 FanDuel points? He really could. Also, a power forward. Did I mention Fareed? I feel like I didn't mention Fareed. He's got a hamstring injury. I think he's going to play. Fareed's 6.6K, and that's super expensive against the Lakers. So tournaments only for Fareed. And lastly, at center, you got hashtag Knockhead, and then you got Zubac. And I do think Zubac's in play, especially if Randall is out. Zubac, he's about 30 and 29 FanDuel points last two games, 26, 28 minutes. And I'm telling you, Luke Walton loves this guy. They think he's going to be a big piece of their future going forward. He might actually start after the All-Star break this year. So Zubac, nice upside. I think also a safe play. If you want to punt and use him in cash, I think that's actually safe as well, as long as Randall is out. And if you use him in any format, then you can get maybe a Westbrook and a Harden in your lineup or something like that. So, yeah, I don't mind that at all. All right, that is it. That is the slate. We got through it. Remember, any questions, tweet me at DanielAGreen1. I normally tweet out the links to Chambers around 5 p.m. Eastern for FanDuel. DraftKings sometimes around 2 or 3 p.m. Eastern. If you have been dying to get in, have not been able to, tweet at me. I will do my best to get you in. Been pretty good at it. Remember, tweets better than a DM because there's a better chance I'll see the tweets. I get too many DMs. I can't review them all. And that's about it. Hope you made some money on Monday. Hope you can achieve some glory on Tuesday. For me and the bailiff, court is adjourned.